Welcome to Gym Shorts Podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Smith.
I'm really excited to introduce our next guest, Bob Manning, Career Pathways Coordinator at Stillwater Schools. Bob connects students with real-world experiences with local businesses and helps educators design programs that meet the needs of the new economy. Bob's business experience and 25 years as an AP Human Geography and Global Studies teacher has given him a unique perspective on training a 21st century workforce. Bob, welcome. I love to start our conversations by asking this very simple question. What was your favorite childhood book and why?
Well, thank you. I like that question. I was an avid reader when I was growing up. And so this is going to age me, but I read a lot of Hardy Boy books. And the book series, though, that I think I liked the most as a young reader was Jim Kjellgaard's books on this Irish setter and this young man who owned that along with his father. They're Big Red, Irish Red, Outlaw Red, Old Red. they were just a great series about a kid and his dad in the mountains. And his dad was a trapper.
Well, anyway, thanks. Let's get started. So, Bob, what is Career Pathways? Can you please tell us about this awesome program?
Pathways is, it really depends on your school. But in general, Pathways offers the courses, experiences, and the connections to help kids figure out what their plan is after high school. And so each district, like I said, will have a different version of this. And there's basically two versions, two broad categories. One is academies, and academies typically are more rigid. And it's a system where students have to declare what pathway that they're interested in. So, for example, healthcare. And then they'll have healthcare related courses within their high school experience. Pathways models are less rigid, and that's the one that we chose. Kids can pivot, they can choose courses across pathways, and it's really not like an academy where there's a school within a school. Mm-hmm. We have what we call pathways programming versus a program. And so it's a variety of experiences, courses, and connections to employers throughout a student's experience in high school.
So what inspired you to develop this programming?
I taught geography at the ninth grade level for 26 years. Mm-hmm. And over that time, I tried to incorporate what I'm doing today into my class, like many teachers do. I think now that I'm in a different role as a coordinator, I'm talking to teachers who all feel like it's important to do this type of work, but it's difficult for them to do because they don't have the time that I have in my role. So I was looking to bring in guest speakers. I tried to keep abreast of the economic and the just societal trends that I wanted to introduce students to match their interests and their skills to options after high school. And I also, what really drove me, I guess, was I was tired of seeing kids in my class who were good people, but they really didn't feel like a success or that they could be successful because they didn't fit the traditional mold of what a successful student does, which is go to a four-year university after high school. And so lots of kids in my class who may not have liked the academics, I learned had lots of skills. Mm-hmm. So for example, they learned how to take apart a car, they fixed people's lawnmowers on the side, and they struggled in class. So I was trying to bring in people and introduce, you know, versions of high school post-secondary experiences to these kids that matched who they were. And then What ended up happening is I taught at a junior high, so seventh through ninth grade, for most of my career. And near the end, we moved to a 9-12 model. So ninth grade students and staff moved up to the high school. And at that time, which was about 7 years ago, our high school decided to rethink their identity, and they formed groups to look at what could we do different. So I did that. I joined a committee, and that committee ended up forming the Pathways program.
Wow. That's so cool. I mean, as an educator myself, I really congratulate you for finding those kids that maybe fall through the cracks because they feel like, well, I'm not that traditional student, or I don't want to go to college. I don't love college. I don't like school, but I'm really good at something. So congratulations. I think this is just so necessary in our world economy today. So it's awesome.
Well, and I was a student who school wasn't overly hard for me, but I also didn't put much into it. And then I struggled as a young adult finding a career that was meaningful for me. And I ended up being fortunate enough to get a job, but I ended up hating it. And so I ended up doing what I do for students today to myself as a young adult, but I was struggling to find work after I quit my job that I got out of college, and also had the student loan debt. And that burden was difficult to manage. So I understand the value of figuring this out early. And I try to help students avoid the pain that I went through.
Bob, we were talking earlier and you said for parents and grandparents and caregivers, especially as we head into graduation season that we're in now, we need to stop asking graduates the same question. When we talked earlier, what was that question that you were referring to, and what should we be asking as parents and supports of our kids?
It's kind of two questions, I guess. One is, where are you going to school? And the other one is, what do you want to do? I think everyone realizes or can picture the graduate student receiving all of these people coming to their party. And it's kind of like the firing squad. They have to answer this question over and over. And a lot of kids are not prepared for that. Or they've made a choice because they felt like they had to. And they don't really have an idea of what they want to do. And so it's not just at the graduation party. It's just in general, as they're going through their senior year or even their junior year, what are you going to do? Or what, you know, it's a logical question, but I'd like to get people to kind of reframe that question and ask, what's next? What are you interested in? What are you thinking of pursuing? Because number one, kids are not exposed to much beyond what their parents do. So they don't know a lot about what their options are. They also, they haven't invested that time to figure that out. And so it's one of those things where kids will change their mind just like adults did. And having a question that includes that option is a better question to ask.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think whether they're, like you said, 11th to 12th grade, or even when they're 8th and 9th and 10th grade, to start thinking that way just makes a lot of sense. And it's not so much pressure then when they do get to that graduation point, or even when they get to college and they're getting done with their college career, they're graduating and people saying, well, what are you going to do? And it's like, well, you know, I think your point is, what excites you? You know, what do you like about your, you know, what you're doing? So I love it. Within the career pathways structure that you were talking about, you said there are four parts that take us really from that ninth grade to the seniors in high school. Is there individualized career coaching as part of this program? Or can you tell me a little bit more about what that looks like for each grade?
Every district will have kind of a unique version of the Pathways or Academies model. And what we've built is something that is it fits our area, it fits our labor market right now. But it also fits what our philosophy is, which is we're trying to offer something for every student. And so, like I said, there's the ability for people to move across pathways. But our framework for our programming falls under these four categories. So we've got the academic bucket, we've got self-discovery, we've got exploration, and then we have partnerships. So academic includes the courses, elective courses that are aligned to real majors and real careers. So we have healthcare, manufacturing, construction, things like that. These are just electives that kids can take to explore from an academic standpoint these subject areas. Within that, we offer the opportunity to get early college credit. We offer two unique courses that we just started, which are a career seminar and a career internship course for juniors or seniors who want to do a more individualized career exploration course. Mm-hmm. And we do have employer partnerships that help embed pathways programming into courses. Self-discovery bucket is where we do offer career coaching. So I do a fair amount of career coaching, whether I'm referred a student or a student just walks into my office, or maybe I'm engaged with a student somehow and I ask them to come in and see what they're interested in and see how I can help. But then we have a digital platform that we just purchased that allows for a scope and sequence of modules from career inventories to searching for colleges, searching for careers that allow them to build an individual or personalized learning plan that is individual and helps them plan their high school experience, but also have a post-secondary plan by the time they leave high school. So then those are the first two buckets. We have exploration, which are all the experiences that you think about. So we have anything from bringing in guest speakers to a large career fair for all 12th graders, which we just had a couple weeks ago. So we'll do that for seniors. Juniors, we've allowed every student who wants to go on a college tour. So we believe that not everyone has the opportunity to go visit a college and see what that's like, whether they're planning to go or not. And so we feel strongly that we should offer every student the opportunity to do that on at least one visit. Or we also bring in military representatives for people who are looking at that option too.
That's awesome.
There are other things like job shadowing, facility tours, and then, you know, these projects and things that we embed in class so that they can explore.
Wow.
Last thing are the partnerships. All of this is made possible through our employer partners. And so the partnerships include things like those projects, like the career fairs and so on. But they also include something that we're excited about, which is our summer teacher externship. So we are doing this for the second year in a row. We have about 50 teachers with 25 or so employers. Teachers will spend 3 days going on 3-hour tours and taking their learnings and looking at how do they embed that into their courses. It gives them a chance to see what is out there for opportunities for students to change their paradigm for what is our economy like out there and what's required in terms of entering those jobs, whether, you know, what type of degree, what type of training and so on. So they have a more accurate view that they can then translate to students. So yeah, it's academic, self-discovery, exploration, and partnerships.
Wow. So well planned and thought out. I love it. So Bob, you said you've been doing this for a couple of years. Do you have any students that have kind of been going through this, kind of getting past their high school career, and have given you any feedback yet? Like, how did it start? How's it going? That kind of a thing.
We started this 4 years ago. We started January 2020.
Right in the pandemic.
Good right one. When the pandemic started. So really, the pandemic limited what we could do. It was a blessing in disguise because it gave us some planning time. Because like I said, when we built this, we did it through committee. We aligned our electives to pathways, but we didn't have anyone in position. So I started as a career pathways coordinator. And then Rachel Style, my colleague, who's a journalism teacher as well, started the next quarter. And she's part-time as a coordinator. So right now we have 1.6 coordinators. But yeah, so because of the pandemic, we've really only executed the program for the last couple of years. In that time, though, we've had a lot of good feedback from students on what they've gained from it. Mm-hmm. And so typically students will, so we have programming across, like I've described, we have across 9th through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. We have whole school events. We have individualized career coaching. One of the things that we do that it has been probably as valuable or the most valuable as any of our other programming are career conversations with people. So when we connect a student to someone in a field of interest who's been doing that for a while, and they just get to talk about their path, they typically will come away with the realization that they don't have to have it all figured out by the time they're done with high school, and that they can change their mind. That has been the biggest takeaway from all the students. They just become much more relaxed and much more confident in just taking it one step at a time, learning from people, learning from experiences, learning from classes. And so that's been one of the main takeaways. The other one is there are so many more opportunities out there that they have that they didn't know about, and that they don't all require a four-year degree.
So Bob, are you able to share, like, what are some of the companies that you're partnering with on this journey? You know, are you getting some good feedback out in the business community from this, or what's their connection?
We've had really good success with our local community. We are lucky to be in an area that has a robust chamber of commerce, and I'm involved with them. But we have a business community that is engaged and intelligent. They understand how important it is to work with high schools, not just colleges, to build their talent pipeline. And so we've had a lot of excitement around what we do. We have lots of partners. Mm-hmm. I hate to call out a few, but I'll give you some examples. Okay. Like I said, we have people who I can call and say, I have a kid who's interested in this particular field. Are you willing to, spend 20 to 30 minutes with them? Mm-hmm. Or people who will come in, and we had our career fair, we had probably 50 employers, 50 companies, many more employers who volunteered their time at our career fair. We had a test drive financial reality event through Royal Credit Union for juniors. We probably had 150 volunteers.
Wow.
Who manned stations.
Crazy.
In the gym. Yeah, that helped kids match their salary that they matched to a career of interest to the reality of what lifestyle they're choosing. So we have things like that. And every partner that we have, whether they're just doing a small, short conversation to an event like that, mm-hmm. is important. But the partnerships that we're really trying to develop are ones where we're embedding programming in the classroom. And so I'll give you a couple examples. Industrial technology, we have CG Hill and Sons, which is a manufacturer. They make machines that make things like the N95 masks.
Mm-hmm.
SMC Limited, medical device manufacturer, injection molding facility where they'll make things like CPAP masks and things for surgeons. And then Anderson Corporation right down the street. Those three companies have spent a lot of time over the last few years in our classes, getting to know the kids, speaking about opportunities in the industry, working on projects with them, providing tours and shadowing and job opportunities. So that's one example of three companies that have been really good partners. Mm-hmm. On the healthcare side, Health Partners and Lakeview Hospital have been a model partner, and they built a course with our staff over the last 3 years. So we have a human anatomy course that is embedding real world simulations like a cardiac arrest or something like that as a catalyst to get kids to learn about a unit that they're doing. Within that unit, they also are embedding skills stations where they're learning the skills, industry skills that are needed for that simulation. And then they have career exploration, career panels, tours, job shadow opportunities, and internships for these kids as they progress through the course. They built a course, they revised the course, so every unit they teach has those three elements. That is a template that we're trying to use for our other programs of study.
Amazing and so wonderful. I mean, the structure makes so much sense from a curriculum level too, that, you know, how do you teach it and how do you get that, and, you know, that engagement from the kids too. So,
and we have an advisory board as well. They're learning what's needed in the workforce in that particular field. They're getting some of the same types of training that the professionals get. And they're doing it in high school where they're now being exposed to the many opportunities that are there. So we have one experience called Who's in the OR? And most people think of the operating room as you have a surgeon and maybe a nurse or something. There's about 10 people in an operating room. And I was able to visit and see a surgery along with the teacher. And we've had students go see surgeries and see that there are people who have anything from a one-year certificate to 12 years of schooling. And everyone in that room has a role and is as respected and as valued in the procedure. And it just opens their eyes to the difference or the variations within the medical field, instead of just having this limited view of you could be a doctor or you could be a nurse.
And it's what every kid in high school hopes for, because how do you know any better? You know.
Yeah, we call it the exposure gap. And so if you're only exposed to so many things, your choices are limited. So by closing that exposure gap, you're now opening up all of these opportunities. You can make really good money, and there's such a high demand for a position called a surgical technician that organizes, arranges the tools in a surgery and literally hands them back and forth with the surgeon. You would need a 2-year or maybe even a 1-year certificate to do that job, and you can make $70,000 to $80,000 a year or more.
Do you think the high school connection with these partners can lead to full-time careers after high school, or get them on that career path with these companies that you're partnering with?
Yes, and they are. So, one thing that I always tell employers as we're getting to know one another is that we're not looking for a lot of partners, although we want a lot of partners. We want a lot of options. We want the right partners. We want the partners that see this the same way we do and share our vision that this is about developing students. That's my job, helping students create a post-secondary plan that makes sense to them, helping us build courses that build skills that they need in the workforce. But there's a mutual benefit here where employers who invest in this programming can develop the right students with the right skills for their business. And by investing in us and building our relationship, students are automatically going to see these employers. They're going to build relationships with these employers. They're going to be able to test one another out, and they're going to, that's what we talk about when we think about a pipeline. That's the pipeline being built. And right. So there's that mutual benefit. The example that I can give you two easy ones. One is we had a student last year who is kind of like the first round draft choice for any employer who worked with those classes. And so CG Hill won the lottery and got this young man to do an internship and then work for them. And they did that because they were in the classroom a lot.
I'm sure.
They had two machinists who were teaching kids how to use a CNC mill. And Casey was one of them. And then they talked about their jobs. They talked about the company. They brought kids on a tour. And Casey said when he saw that tour, he goes, that's what I want to do. And his mother was in the medical field, and she was kind of trying to push him towards that field, but he wanted to do this. And he went through the internship. Now he's working for this company. That's the career that he wants to do. They're paying for like half of his schooling at Anoka Technical College. So it was a very mutually beneficial arrangement for Casey and this company. And it just shows they did this not to get Casey to work for them. And a lot of these companies, SMC, Anderson, they need people, but they did it to get to do what was right. And then they benefited from it. Health Partners also got a student who she started by having career conversations. She then took a class, this human anatomy class, and met these people. She did a tour, but she got a job with Boutwell's Landing, which is an assisted living center. And they offered an opportunity for her to get her CNA. It's a certified nursing assistant certification that is required to go into nursing along with other things. And she's now at Winona State going to school for nursing. And she was also doing some work at Lakeview Hospital. So Lakeview is going to get a really good nurse out of Bethany.
That's just so cool. I just love to see the progression that you're helping these kids get on and be excited about and not be afraid of what's next or don't have those answers, because really, you know, what a different experience they're having than what we did when we were going through this.
For sure.
So many teens and young 20-somethings seem to think that college is not a good value any longer, and it doesn't have a direct link to their successful careers. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, how do we temper both sides?
Yeah, I do. And I think the opinions on whether on the value of a 4-year degree is changing. We really were conscious of trying to help people open their eyes to the idea that this isn't the only path to success after high school. And we promoted that. At the same time, it's a great value for certain people. If college was free, I would say everyone should go to college. I'm a huge proponent of especially a liberal arts education. Mm-hmm. I think what it does is it develops informed citizens who are critical thinkers, and we need that. Mm-hmm. The experiences that you get in college are really good, and the network that you could get are really good. But today, that's not required for most jobs, actually. A 2-year degree or a vocational or apprenticeship type of technical training are required for some really good jobs. And too many kids are going to college for the amount of jobs that require a college degree. And not as many of those kids are graduating as you'd think. Mm-hmm. And most are coming out with a high amount of student loan debt. So the cost of college has gotten out of control, And that makes making an informed decision on whether that's a good choice for you or not is a really more important than ever.
Well put, well said. I agree with that. Almost two more, here we go. What do you think about 10th graders who take like a PSEO? One of my nieces is starting as maybe a sophomore or junior already in college because she started doing PSEO in 9th and 10th grade. Or they exit the traditional high school to complete college coursework in its place. Do you think this is still a good plan for people? Is it one size fits all? Or what do you think about that?
Well, it's not one size fits all. It definitely is a good plan for some kids. The question that I ask students a lot is always, you know, or the questions that I ask are going to start with why. Why are you doing this? What's the reason? I would say a lot of kids who are taking early college credit, like an AP class or PSEO, they're going to struggle a little bit answering the question, why are you doing that? And it could vary from, well, my friends are doing it, or I'm supposed to do that, or it could be I want to get college credit and save money. But these courses, these credits don't always translate into money. PSEO has pros and cons. One is you get to have an experience on a college campus, but sometimes it's online. And you can get college credit and save money. The cons are you are leaving the school, you are missing out on your high school experience, per pupil funding leaves with you, so it's a drain on our school funds, which have to be, you know, we have to accommodate that loss somehow.
You do that, yeah.
So that's a problem. There are other options like AP classes. AP classes are good, but a lot of times people just think, I have to take all these AP classes, and they don't understand why they're doing it, or it might not be a good fit for them in high school. And they have to take a test. And depending on how they score on that test, they may or may not get college credit. And when they get the college credit, if they score high enough, the college that they go to may or may not give them the credit for that. There's another option called concurrent enrollment, where teachers teach a class that is a college level class, and it's automatically approved. They are automatically given that credit for and they can apply that to any university. So concurrent enrollment requires that a teacher meet certain criteria. They have to have a master's in or a certain number of credits in the field that they're teaching. And that's a barrier, but if we can get through that barrier, I think that is maybe a better choice. The student will stay in school, have the high school experience, and they can use that credit no matter what.
Wow. I mean, that makes so much sense. I didn't even know that was really an option, but I agree with you about having a high school experience. I mean, I was a band geek and I did a little bit of running and cross country, but mostly band. But those are some of the most fun experiences of going to the marching band things and, you know, touring around the country and getting really embarrassed when I had to do a French horn solo on the football field. But luckily our football team at the time had not a big following. So, but I think that, go eat and pray. But I think that you're right about that. The having that high school experience, just it's something that you have memories of. It helps you shape yourself as you're, you know, approaching that 20 something that's coming along the bend. But
it only happens once. And it's not just that, it's more, I really think it's more, why are you doing that? And the more we can help students and their families, help the student ask that question and be able to answer that question. Like we have kids look internally before they start looking outward at what they're supposed to be doing. So who am I? What am I good at? Why do I like the things that I like? How do I compartmentalize those things and label them, so then I can try to match that to all these opportunities that are out there. So, you know, all these experiences, whether it's 4-year college or early college credit or whatever, they're good for certain people, but is it good for you? And the more we can work on who are you, and then help you start looking at what are your options, we can find that match better.
True. Okay, last but not least, Bob, and we'll be getting done. So when you say globally competent adults, is that the ultimate goal for every student? And can you explain what specifically you mean by globally competent adults?
Well, globally competent adults are people who are able to think outside of the borders of the country in which they live. They understand that there's a big world out there that has many different people, cultures, systems, environments, and that we're all connected somehow. I don't care where you live, we live on a planet that has interconnections. And today those interconnections are broader, deeper than ever before. You can't ignore that. A globally competent person understands that, and they have the ability to work across difference. They have the ability to see other perspectives or be open to other perspectives, at least, so that they can eventually see them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's pretty, you know, as simple as that. If you don't know, first of all, if you don't know that, my wife and I have this passport club where we're trying to help young people learn about the countries that are out there, that are on the map. Mm-hmm. And then you start realizing, okay, there are different people in different environments, different systems in those countries. And to approach that with curiosity instead of fear is a hallmark of a globally competent person.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think in our next conversation, we'll talk more about your passport group too, because that sounds like, you know, to be determined. Let's get back and do it again.
Yeah.
But Bob, I just really appreciate your time with us today and really explaining this amazing program that you've put together. I think this is where kids need to be right now. And I think that this is post-pandemic, such a great hope and opportunity for our high school students to gain that confidence and get that experience at a younger level and kind of help them make those decisions so that they are investing correctly post-high school and make wise financial investments as well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a great rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll probably connect again.